The date is May 1st, 1984, and we're watching The Toxic Avenger. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One. The show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is, I don't know, the slug to my bozo.
Hello, I'm Colin Stewart.
So this week we roll along in our November request movie month that we've got going on here, and this week we have a request from Sully D. I want to say right off the bat, I'm glad it was recommended because I don't think I would have seen it otherwise. But yeah, that's a spoiler alert. I had never seen this movie before this came up. But this week we are looking back at May 1984 when the movies in theaters were Preppies, Where the Boys Are, Oddballs, Friday the 13th Part 4, The Final Chapter, and of course our movie for today, The Toxic Avenger, which earned $600,000 on a $475,000 budget.
Oh, wait, $600,000?
$600,000, yeah, and it was made for $475,000.
Huh.
So it was still profitable.
I would have guessed this movie was made for, like, less than $100.
Yeah. I'm already forecasting that this is probably going to end up being one of our worst downloaded episodes of all time. I appreciate the people that stick with us through every episode, but this one's going to be a hard sell, I think.
Or will it? Maybe we'll see the resurgence of the Toxic Avenger from this podcast.
That's right. This is a franchise, bitch.
Like, exactly. Yeah, that's even more unbelievable.
But a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yes. But it's clear that we're not going to be spoiling this movie for anybody, so we know that you haven't seen the movie, so no need to hit pause and go watch it. Just listen to us and then maybe decide after if you want to watch it.
You know, that might be a better approach at this movie, yeah. Well, Colin, I found four taglines for the poster of this movie. The first one is, he was 98 pounds of solid nerd until he became, and then there is no ending to that tagline, but that is one of those taglines that blends into the title of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, until he became the Toxic Avenger.
Okay.
98 pounds of solid nerd, yeah. Well, the next one, the first superhuman hero from New Jersey. Now, I want to call that one out right away. Because I'm sure with the X-Men being based in Upper New York, even without thinking very hard, there are bound to be some superheroes that were created before the Toxic Avenger that hail from New Jersey, I'm sure.
Yeah. I would have to fact check that one, but I agree with you. I don't think it's possible that he's the first superhero from New Jersey.
He might be the first one that actually fights crime in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he's like Phoenix Jones, except fictional. Do you know Phoenix Jones?
Yes.
The Seattle superhero?
Yes.
Well, number three, there's a great podcast about it. Number three, not all monsters are scary to people. Not if it's one fighting crime in the Garden State. You'll see they leaned heavily on the same themes throughout these taglines.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that they're very much hinging their whole thing on New Jersey when I honestly, until you've said all these taglines, could not have told you that this was a New Jersey-themed movie. Or maybe I'm just not... I mean, all I know of New Jersey is, like, Clerks or anything that appears in a Kevin Smith film, like...
Or The Sopranos.
Or The Sopranos, I guess. But maybe I've only seen one season of that. But maybe I'm not up on my New Jersey lingo or familiar with my New Jersey tropes to pick it up in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're all just like, yo, fuck, New Jersey, represent, come on, come see this movie. That's what these those taglines are. Well, here's the last one. In this one, his weight goes down. Melvin was a 90-pound weakling until nuclear waste transferred him into, and then it's the same thing, the Toxic Avenger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, at one point there in this movie, there is a line that I'm not just another pretty face. That would have been a great tagline.
Yeah. Or they could have done I like the guts line at the end.
Oh, yeah. I probably have it in my notes, but that's way too far down for me to scroll right now. But you know what? Those aren't very good taglines, I guess, because they don't really give us a description of the movie. So let's go to Colin and get a 60-second synopsis.
Okay. I also just want to preface, after I was 15 minutes into this movie, I was determined that I was never going to watch it again. So I decided to watch it in, 30-minute segments to make sure that I could pick everything up.
Okay.
Okay. Melvin works as a janitor at the Tromaville Fitness Center. When a group of unhinged bullies who are also murderers decide to pull a prank on Melvin, it ends with him falling through a window into a barrel of toxic waste and catching on fire. Melvin somehow manages to survive this traumatic event, but it leaves a mark as he slowly begins to mutate into a hideous monster with superpowers that he then begins to use to stop crime and kill those who would seek to harm others. Rejected by his mother, Melvin builds a home at the local toxic waste dump and falls in love with a blind woman he saves during a restaurant robbery. When he realizes his bloodlust is out of control, Melvin and his lady decide to go further off the grid, but they are pursued by the mayor of Tromaville, who's as crooked as they come. With their tent surrounded by the mayor, his goons, the local police, and the National Guard, things are looking bad until a Christmas miracle happens and the citizens of Tromaville band together to save their monster savior, giving him the opportunity to rip the mayor's guts out. The end.
Nice. Yeah, so, again, I will say thank you, Sully, for requesting this particular movie.
For sullying our good podcast.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It was quite an adventure. Now, before this, I had heard of the movie. I never even realized it was a franchise. I vaguely remember the Saturday morning cartoon. I think it only lasted one season. I'm aware of the Toxic Avenger in pop culture, but that was about as far as I know. I had never seen this movie, and there we go. That's my history with the Toxic Avenger. So thank you, Sully, for bringing this into my life. Colin, what about you? Any history with Toxic Avenger?
No, I mean, I think as a nerd and a comics superhero guy and being in that zeitgeist, I'd heard of the Toxic Avenger, and I would know him by face and appearance. If somebody put him in front of me, I'd be like, oh yeah, I know who that is, but I'd never seen
the
movie.
I know the poster with him holding the mop.
Yeah.
Know. Yeah.
I think I swear, I was just looking it up and I can't really find proof to back this up, but I could have sworn that there was crossover between the Toxic Avenger and the 1980s or early 90s Ninja Turtles cartoon. Not in the cartoon, but just in the toy line.
Kind of like a Predator versus Batman situation.
Kind of the way other weird indie superhero characters, even though they never appeared in the show, it was just Kenner, whoever was at the time, had the license for them, so they just threw them in the Ninja Turtles line. But
I think the Savage Dragon showed up at one point because of that.
Yeah, and
in their toy line.
But now that it might have just been that the Toxic Crusaders or whatever obviously had their own toys, so maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But
oh yeah, possibly.
Yeah, that's really the only touch I can really think that I might have had with the Toxic Avenger. It's just seeing him on the toy shelf.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Yeah, there is also a Toxic Avenger musical, apparently. So that's
fun.
Yeah,
I saw the soundtrack on that for that on Spotify. And after watching the movie, I was like,
How much do I
wonder?
Yeah, I had a very similar thought. I watched this one off of a USB that my girlfriend lovingly made for me that has some of the movies that we need that I don't own on it. And she did include Toxic Avenger the musical, but I haven't watched it yet. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So apparently Toxic Avenger is never said in this movie by anyone other than the narrator, because during the filming, they didn't know what he'd be called. That's why, like, all the shirts say, "I love the monster." They hadn't locked down a name on him yet.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. I thought there was going to be some sort of, like, newspaper headline, like, "Toxic Avenger Strikes Again" or something like that, but nothing ever showed up.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I guess they wouldn't really know that he's toxic.
No, I suppose. Well, except the people that witnessed him being, you know, like, not only falling in the vats, but, you know, someone's bound to know that he lives in the dump other than the blind girlfriend. But well, now that we've said Toxic Avenger, I was going to say, let's jump into the Toxic Avenger, because I haven't actually done that yet. Directed by Michael Hertz and Lloyd Kaufman as Samuel Whale, for some reason. Produced by Michael Hertz and Lloyd Kaufman. And written by Lloyd Kaufman, Joe Ritter, Gay Terry, and Stuart Struten. I couldn't get through Gay Terry without chuckling because I'm still a 13-year-old child. And so, okay, we were talking about the girlfriend. So might as well stay on subject. Let's talk about it. It's Sarah, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Sarah's the blind girl, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was almost a little too on the nose for me. That whole like restaurant scene as well is very, very violent and unnerving.
Yeah.
But I definitely wasn't expecting it to end with them falling in love.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, the dog, of course, is one of those things that I read outraged a lot of people. You know, so
I could see that. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie that showed
that
such vivid
a dog like that,
vivid harm to an animal.
Yeah, yet not like it did look very fake, but the violence in this movie. I mean, I was kind of excited right off the bat because I didn't know what I was in for, and I don't know if your copy of this movie had this at the beginning, but did yours say, "Warning, the Toxic Avenger contains scenes of extreme violence"?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I watched it on YouTube.
And I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. Like, what are we in for here?
I thought it was like the way the movie opens with just the most 80s gym. Like, and I think this is why I didn't think it was in New Jersey, because it gave me like mad California vibes, the way that everybody looks and the way that everybody's dressed and all the, like, you know, all the girls with their tan lines. And, like, I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. But the very beginning of the movie, I mean, it does open after the little warning about violence with the voiceover about New York and the unfortunate byproduct of today's society's pollution.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how we know is Jersey. And I mean, you know, from what I know of the Jersey Shore, and I can't say that I was a Jersey Shore watcher. I never even hate watched it. I humored someone and watched one full episode of the Jersey Shore. And I'm like, yeah, nah, I can't even hate watch this. So, but knowing what I know of the Jersey Shore through the antics of Snooki and whatnot, I am aware of this, like, kind of crowd, I suppose. Like, I feel like these are Jersey Shore people, but they weren't Jersey enough. They weren't the situation. Actually, I felt like this movie was full of a whole bunch of people where I'm like, that guy reminds me of so-and-so, and it kept taking me out of the movie. Because it's like, you know, I found that the guy with the bandana, see, I don't even know their names. That's how unmemorable a lot of them were for me. But the guy with the bandana, maybe it's because he had the red bandana, but I thought, I was watching him the whole time thinking, this is Corey Feldman. This is an old Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Because he looks like he did in Lost Boys. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
You know, but there were a lot of people where it's like, that looks like so-and-so, you know, like... One looks like if Ashton Kutcher and someone else had a baby. I forget who I thought of, but most
Man,
of all,
I'm so glad to hear you say that. Like that's Slug. Like I thought like Slug. I wanted to look it up to be like, is that Ashton Kutcher's dad? Because yeah. they look strikingly similar. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, and of course Melvin himself. He looks just like Remy from Ratatouille.
Yeah.
Or is Remy the rat? Which one's the chef? It's been a while since I've seen Ratatouille.
I've never seen it. Oh. I can just picture the chef in my mind's eye.
Yeah. Looks kind of like Tom Holland. If they made a live-action Ratatouille, you know they'd cast Tom Holland.
What is the deal with Bozo? Like, why is he so... He looks like... constantly like somebody's like about to stick something up his ass. I don't even understand the premise of why he hates Melvin so much. Like he just seems so aggro.
I don't understand why any of them hate Melvin so much. Apparently with Bozo, Vincent D'Onofrio was supposed to be that part, and he asked for like a little bit more money, and they're like, yeah, no, we'll recast you, see ya. So
what a shame.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Could have been an Oscar contender.
Right? Right? I mean, we do have an Oscar-winning actress. So did you spot her? That was one I gave you the heads up before you watched the movie. Marissa Tomei.
She was in like a 2-second, like, she was on the fly machine.
No, there is also the part where one of the girls is getting beat up in the locker room by the Toxic Avenger. And she comes out of the shower wearing this blue and white striped towel, screams, and runs back into the shower. And that's her big moment.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't notice her there. But I noticed in, like, the opening montage when they're showing everybody, like, using the exercise equipment or whatever. I saw her there. I didn't pick up on her in that scene, though.
Yeah. Young Marissa Tomei is not as hot as Aunt May Marissa Tomei, though.
Maybe that's why I didn't recognize her.
She glowed up. I mean, you know, it's like my cousin Vinny and on is definitely beautiful Marissa Tomei. But I mean, right there, Jersey. The other thing I found interesting is the guy that played the Toxic Avenger, not like the guy that played Melvin, like the beefy guy. His next movie was Clerks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was he in Clerks?
Just, you know, one of the random guys that, you know, it's like, he's one of those guys that has multiple parts in Clerks that, okay. You know, yeah. He would have been a customer, and he would have been in the back of a cigarette crowd, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the pleasure of seeing Clerks 3. Have you seen Clerks 3 yet?
Yeah, I watched it in theaters. I thought it was unreal.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I was quite impressed. Sorry, proceed.
I would say to go on a Clerks 3 tangent.
Okay.
Why not? I had lost faith a little bit in Kevin Smith's ability to make a movie with any sort of like actual poignancy.
You didn't like Tuscan Red State is what you're saying. And
yeah,
reboot.
And then yeah, and even like Jane Silent Bob Strike, like basically like Clerks is like his one thing. I like Clerks 2, but Clerks 3 I thought was like, it was the perfect end to that whole story. And I just like, it actually like, I was on the verge, I'm not gonna say I cried, but I was on the verge of tears by the end of that movie.
Yeah, like, it was Chasing Amy quality good.
Yeah, right? that's a good reference. Yeah.
One of his hidden gems as well, I think, is Jersey Girl. Because there was so much like weird press surrounding J-Lo and Ben Affleck back then because of Geely or not J-Lo.
Yeah.
But because she appeared in that movie in the beginning as well, like, it got all this bad press, but Jersey Girl has some real heart to it. George Carlin is awesome in Jersey Girl.
Okay, I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, there we go. Kevin Smith tangent. Do you remember what you were going to say?
Yes. It really threw me off the, what's the word, like the dubbing of the Toxic Avenger's voice.
Right?
And, how it went back and forth from, like, sometimes you could clearly just tell it was added in post.
Yeah.
And then other times it seemed like the actual guy was talking. Like, there were times where I felt like the actual person in the makeup was talking.
Yeah.
Because the voices were different, and it threw me for a loop a little bit.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of scenes, and I noticed that the weird ADR, it was always when they filmed them from behind. And for a good chunk of the movie, they film him from behind. You don't see his face until, like, pretty deep into the movie. And I'm like, oh, that's why it's like a $500,000 movie, is because they only had to do makeup for half of the days. But yeah, all those are so badly ADR'd. Yeah, so badly.
Yeah, it was weird.
It
made me think, because I was watching it on YouTube, it made me think that I was like, maybe I'm not watching the right movie, or maybe it's some weird, I'm watching some weird dubbed version. And I hope when we do the podcast that Sean also had this experience and I didn't just watch some weird fan film.
it very much at certain points turns into, it's okay, you are safe now. And it's like, who is this guy? It's okay, mother, it's me, Melvin. Oh, did you finally hit puberty? I was under the impression that Melvin was already, like, were they supposed to be high school students? Because I was under the impression that they were adults.
Yeah, they seemed like adults to me. I didn't get that they were high school. Not with those boobs.
Yeah.
Where was I? The, like, villain plot line in this movie is also very strange. I totally expected that it was all going to be about these like, hit-and-run murderer, these weird sex orgy couple that they got going on here.
Yeah.
And I expected that to be, like, I thought, like, the ultimate story was Melvin getting his revenge on the people who maimed him.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden he's going after this, like, old lady we've never seen before and murdering her.
Yeah.
And then because I think they must realize, like, oh, we didn't explain who this was beforehand, they have to interject a scene just so we're like, oh, she was actually a bad guy, so him killing her totally makes sense now.
Yeah, she was
dirty. And
then
this whole thing with and then this whole thing with the mayor, and you're just kind of like, what is, like, I reached a point where I didn't understand who's supposed to be the big bad in this movie.
Yeah, I assumed it was the mayor, and it kind of turns into the mayor.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Yeah. He's like, I own this town or whatever. Yeah. I have to say that the mayor has a slogan for his campaign that is for a healthy Traumaville. Is it supposed to be ironic that he's the fattest guy in town?
I'm going to say yes, just because I also picked up on that and thought, like, oh, this must be a funny irony or an ironic joke of some sort.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that. So Melvin ends up walking in on some people having sex, and we get the locker room scene where people are talking about driving around and scaring people with their cars. And I got to the point in this movie where I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I really had no clue what I was watching out. There is the moment when he walks in on the people having sex. And I do wonder. The one guy yells, like, get out of here, you pervert, or I'll kill you. And Melvin leaves. Did they finish? They kicked him out of there? And were they like, well, okay, he's gone now. Let's just... Like, I just... I
think so.
Okay, I just feel like, like, that's a boner killer, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, because she's, like... She doesn't even move. Like, she just stays right there on top. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know. I'm assuming these guys are all, like, hopped up on some sort of stimulants. I mean, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we definitely have a lot of stimulants, and we also get a lot of racial slurs getting thrown around when they're in the car and talking about the point system for running people over. Yeah, that was a lot of unnecessary foul language. I don't know. It's like, it felt like every time, maybe, I guess it's my 2022 brain, but, you know, it's like every time it just felt, well, that's unnecessary. You know, why do you have to use those words? You guys don't come across as evil enough to be using those words. You know, you're not Tarantino characters over here.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt that way with the violence as well. I was just like, oh, that's... Part of me is like, when the guy gets his head slammed in the weight machine or whatever, I was like, oh, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
Like, I could have done without having to see the whole head exploding.
Yeah. Yeah, the kid that got his head run over, they achieved that stunt by taking a melon and injecting it with, like, corn syrup and red food coloring and then putting a wig on it.
Some ingenuity.
Yeah. $475,000. I will say, I mean, as cheap and terrible, and I mean, there was a lot of things to hate about this movie, but there were also some of the effects were really good, especially when you consider the budget. When he transforms, like when his skin is bubbling and everything like that, I'm like, that's a pretty good effect.
Yeah.
His transformation. Yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of, like, I feel like if you look at the movie, you can tell what scenes they put a lot of, like, their budget into, and that's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
I was going to say that similar, like, when we talked about, when we watched Friday the 13th, we mentioned how that movie is, like, it's, like, a good movie for aspiring filmmakers to watch to just be, like, oh, like, it's not that hard. Like,
I can make a movie. Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of felt the same way watching The Toxic Avenger. I keep wanting to say The Toxic Adventurer. But where I was just like, oh, like, you can do a lot with and by making a monster and not having to spend money on effects when you just show them in the shadow of the sun and running down the street and that kind of stuff. You can fill a lot of time doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can tell that some of it was probably guerrilla filmmaking. And I'm pretty sure there wasn't a representative of the Humane Society on set. Because the sheep they brought in, I guess, was infested with lice. The one that Melvin had to kiss. Yeah. And so, like, the actor playing Melvin ended up getting lice from this fucking sheep.
Ugh. Disgusting.
Yeah. And, like, the snake in the aerobic guy's shirt, I'm pretty sure that snake was... The only snake in a movie that's been treated worse than that one is probably the one in Friday the 13th, speaking of Friday the 13th. Yeah. But, like, with the aerobics instructor, I'm like, just untuck your shirt, fucking idiot. Okay, so when they are in the car running people down, one of the... They're figuring out what a point system is, and there is a kid on a bicycle, and they say, "Oh, that's 28 points for a kid on a bicycle." What is the rating scale that they're using for points?
Well, it's a black kid, right?
No, I think it's a white kid.
No, is it a white kid?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're giving more. I think they're giving more points for the. I think you. It's increased. Points the younger the person because they're sick, so I think like baby would be max points. This kid's probably, you know, he's young, so, you know, decent amount of points. And then I'm gonna say also you get increased points for hitting somebody who's also moving, like on a vehicle of some sort, or maybe just a bike or skateboard. Mm-hmm. Kind of like you know, in Big Daddy when they throw the sticks and strip the rollerbladers, similar thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I'm going to say that probably factors in.
It's just a very specific number. 28 points.
28.
For, yeah. It's like the bicycle is 5. It's 3 extra because he doesn't have a helmet. You know, I don't know. Like anyone in 1984 would have had.
Maybe there's some. Maybe there's a certain number of points, like for how close you can get before the person notices.
Mm. Yeah, I see, and that's what some of the exposition was missing. Is that, you know, they? I didn't quite understand what their motives actually were for running people down, because it wasn't consistent enough. They spent too much time in the gym. I really feel like a lot of this movie was spent in the gym. I guess someone had a hookup, and they're like, let's do it. It would have been like Kevin Smith with his convenience store, to bring it back to that.
Yeah, this movie overall could have used a lot more, like, explanation. Mm-hmm. Like, when you get to the restaurant robbery, you have this gang that shows up that clearly there's something up with these guys. Like, the one guy comes in with, like, red face paint. The other guy comes in looking like he's, you know, an ex-Black Panther.
Yeah.
And then the other guy seems to have some sort of, like, martial arts past.
Uh-huh.
But there's no explanation of who they are. They just show up and are there to rob the place.
Yeah. And, like, the way that the bad guys are in this movie, like, there's the guys in the alley, like the cigar face or whatever his name is. And,
all right, yeah.
Yeah, and those guys are fucking weird. Like, but, like, these robbers come into the Mexican restaurant and they all introduce themselves. Like, so Traumaville is this lawless that they can be like, hey, you know, my name's Franco. Like, yeah. Come at me, brah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's
my name's Tony Stark. I live at whatever. Anyway.
That's the other thing about this movie is in that opening monologue, they really harp on, you know, it's like, this is where all the toxic waste goes. Like, it's a sick, sick city full of, like, cesspool. Toxic waste, yeah. and all that.
Yeah.
But I think would have lent itself more to the stories if they also added that, like, is this toxic waste in the water supply making people crazy and, like, creating, like, a lawless city that is in need of an Avenger? Like,
yeah.
Like, what, like,
there's a lot of untold story there.
Yeah, because then when the toxic Avenger comes up, it could be, it's also kind of a cop-out to just make it like he's a mutated crazy person with bloodlust.
Yeah.
Who just goes after, you know, the he's Dexter, basically. And it could have just been a little bit more impactful, I think, if it was like, you know, he's mutated, his mother doesn't even love him, the only woman who loves him now is a blind woman.
Yeah.
If, you know, like, his choice to become an Avenger was more of an actual choice based on the need of the city.
Mm-hmm. And with great power comes great responsibility, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so I've heard.
I do want to ask one question about this Mexican restaurant, though. Why is there a samurai sword on the wall?
I feel like if we were smart, we would have kept track of weird, incongruent restaurant decorations or themes in movies, because this has come up probably like 3 times, I'm going to say, in the
weird
last
fusion things?
3 months, where it's like these weird fusion. Yeah, maybe they have some sort of Mexican sushi that's like, yeah. You know, rolled tacos.
Well, because another thing that I've noticed has come up a lot recently as well is nunchucks. I don't know why we've had this, you know, resurgence of nunchucks, but, like, we've been tying a lot of our movies together with nunchuck moments. I mean, obviously Ninja Turtle has it, but, I mean, Ernest had sausage mm-hmm. nunchucks, so.
Yeah, nunchucks the most, like, not real weapon I think there is.
Yeah.
The weapon that's probably more hazardous to the person using it than it is to the person they're trying to attack.
That's what it feels like. Absolutely. But you know what? Before we get out of the Mexican restaurant or talk about the blind bitch almost getting cornholed, as they put it.
Oh my gosh.
Let's talk a
that
bit
was
more.
A tough one.
Let's talk. Yeah. Well, let's talk a bit about the sponsors in Sponsorship Corner. So always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, The Toxic Avenger is brought to you by Everlast, Adidas and Pony Athletic, Right Guard, Budweiser and Michelob, Lee Jeans, U-Haul, Ready Whip, Orville Redenbacher's Popcorn, Kit Kats, M&M's, Baby Ruth and Dipsy Doodles, Popeyes and McDonald's restaurants, Laughing Cow Cheese, Reisman Jerky, Playmates Plus Coolers, Playgirl Magazine, Toyota, Harley Davidson, Lipton, Dairy Test Milk, and Ortega Taco Sauce. $475,000 budget, and they have all these people in there, you know, showing things in their movie. That's crazy. Plus the maybe or maybe not fictional The Dispatch newspaper, J Super and Sons, Toga, Ray Bari Pizza, Bosco, the Mexican place, and of course, the Traumaville Health Club. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
You just jogged my memory for anybody who was freaking out earlier when I was talking about Ninja Turtles toys. I made a mistake and said that the toy license was by Kenner. It's actually Playmates.
Oh, yes, so, correct.
So nobody skewer me on the internet over here. I accept my mistake. It's corrected now.
So there were a few fun moments that I also did enjoy in this movie. Is like the moments where in the gym where the guys are working out and they're doing sit-ups back and forth to each other and passing a cigarette back and forth.
Fitness.
Fitness. Fitness in the 80s. Yeah. I don't know. This was a weird movie, you know?
I mean, I was going to say, those two specifically are a very weird relationship. Yeah. I was half expecting by the end that those two would be making out.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't feel like they were going to quite go there. But, I mean, there were the two guys that hang out in the gym in just their Speedos. And it is like, well, I don't know what this place is. This is some weird club. I guess I've never been rich enough to be in an exclusive club like this.
Yeah, you just got women masturbating in the sauna and, you know, like, people just having sex on the change benches. You know those are covered with athlete's foot. Like, Jesus. Gonna get Jokic or some other, like, who knows.
Yeah. Put a towel down at least. Jeez.
Yeah, seriously. Also, I'm trying to think. I can't remember how thick it was, but that's quite the balancing act. It must have been a wider, like a change bench than I'm used to. I know the ones at the City of Edmonton Rec Centers are just like, you know, they're probably only like a foot maybe wide, like the ones that
they don't want people taking naps.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be playground equipment is what balance across this kid.
I mean, I guess to go back to the sit-ups, we know that guy's been putting in core work. So, I mean, if anyone could handle it, he should.
That's true. That is true.
The one scene that actually did really disgust me and I guess kind of made more sense about why Bozo is so infuriated is there is that scene when Melvin's mopping where he like
slaps him in the face
and slaps him in the face with a dirty mop.
Yeah.
That might be enough to send me into a murderous rage. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was pretty bad. Yeah. But like what is Melvin's mop budget? Holy shit. Like, is he finding all these mops lying around that he's using? I guess a couple of them he picks up from his surroundings, but he kills with a lot of mops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's what happens is he ends up mopping their face. I don't know, though. They had a hatred for Melvin to begin with. That's why I'm like, are they supposed to be high school students? Because it's like, seriously? Were people that bad in 1984 even that they would have this much bullying?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed kind of like there's no reason for it other than the whole like jock versus nerd dynamic.
Yeah,
like they just hate him because he has nerd scent on him.
Yeah, like these days he would be cyber bullied and it would be horrible. But what do? They end up making him kiss a lice-infested sheep and put him in a tutu outfit because he thinks he's going to get some from the one girl. Come on, get some. But then, like, they pull the prank and he ends up jumping out the window. And that's so not him when he jumps out the window. No. So apparently they could at least afford a stuntman. Yeah. But they're like, he falls into the barrel of toxic waste and they're all just laughing at him. Like, how?
I thought they
didn't seem evil enough to be acting like that, but like they are really evil, but it's like, but it seemed out of character. Like
I know. And like nobody, like the thing is like, he's in that vat for probably 5 minutes. Yeah. And nobody's like rushing to like help him or see what's going on. And then he just spontaneously combusts and still nobody's like, oh, like let's throw a blanket on this guy and like figure it out. They just let him run away. And then what happened after he runs away? Everyone's just like, ah, funny. Well, I got a workout to do.
Yeah, let's go back and work out and have sex. Yeah. There is like a couple of them that do kind of realize it, but it takes them a long while to realize, like, wait, we just caused a homicide.
Yeah.
But, well, I guess he wasn't pushed out the window, so.
I guess.
Again, like, the one guy's like, he's faking it when he's on fire. Fuck. He's faking it. His skin bubbling is him faking it. Now, we just like Friday the 13th, I can run a lot of parallels to this now that you brought that up. The officer, Clancy, the one that gets beat up because he's not going to be a dirty cop, he's refusing to pay off the gang members, the street toughs, his uniform is one of the worst cop uniforms I've ever seen on screen. Later on, when they have a group of cops, they've got some decent uniforms going on, but this guy's uniform is terrible the whole way through.
Yeah. He's the first one that gets saved from the cigar guys, right?
Yeah.
It was not great. He created like just had like a plastic little toy badge on the side.
Yeah. Yeah, just before he's about to get his dick shot off. Yeah, that's when the Toxic Avenger shows up and rescues him quite bloodily. The one guy in the Mexican restaurant, going back to the Mexican restaurant, there's the one guy that gets his arm torn off.
Yeah.
And apparently that actor is actually an amputee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was a prosthetic arm, yeah. It's just like, you know... Steven Spielberg famously did that for Saving Private Ryan. It makes me wonder, oh, did he get the idea from Toxic Avenger? Yeah, I'll cast real amputees for realism.
I did think the scene when he puts the karate guy's hands in the deep fryer.
Yeah.
That was pretty gruesome.
Yeah. That was a pretty big one. Yeah. Yeah.
What is the Toxic Avenger's power set? Like, clearly he has super strength, and sometimes it seems like invulnerability, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, is he he's bulletproof at the end, I think.
Yeah, how about a murderous lust? You know, he sees red. That's what he does.
I was wondering what the deal is, because there are times, like, when he kills the one girl in the sauna, I think.
Yeah.
No, he puts her on the sauna rocks and burns her.
He sits her on it, yeah. Doesn't he also smush her face against it at one point?
Yeah. But there's one person he kills, I swear, by just touching them. It's like his hands are like acid or something, and he like burns... I feel like it's a girl. He burns her with his hands. But then I was concerned because like... Later on with Sarah, they have that, I don't know, quote-unquote sex scene where he doesn't take his pants off, his overalls somehow.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's not getting all burned up.
No, his tutu.
His tutu, right?
His tutu.
She's not getting all burned from the inside or the outside. So, like,
yeah,
that must be something he has the ability to control, I guess.
I suppose so. Yeah. I mean, then, we didn't like see him spit acid or anything. So
yeah. And then maybe goes along with the mop. Maybe he has some sort of, mop. It would have been cool if he, you know, like Wolverine style, like could just projectile a mop out of his fist or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, he's a rage monster just like the Hulk. He uses a mop like they're Black Widow sticks. I mean, he is the Avengers. Yeah. He's all of them. He's bulletproof like Iron Man. I mean, come on.
There
and
you go.
The Hulk and all of them, yeah. So the mayor ends up making a backroom deal to have the toxic waste dump moved. So that's a plot point that never comes up again once he moves in there.
Yeah, this is like weird B story of the movie that doesn't really, in the end, have anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
Because like the Toxic Avenger isn't even threatening his plan, really, I don't think.
That's right. Like, I don't understand why these gang members aren't under the mayor's control. Like, that seems to be a bit of connective tissue that's missing, is that these gang members don't seem like they have a kingpin.
Yeah.
They're misguided. They're just, you know, they're wandering souls.
They need the Joker. They need the Joker from the Dark Knight to come in and be the dog.
Right? Is that what the problem is? Is it's like you're watching a movie full of henchmen and that's it? Like he never levels up from henchmen in this movie for the most part.
Yeah.
They're just, they're all delinquents. They're all just street toughs and thugs and, you know.
Yeah, and the mayor should be, like, you're right, he should be the kingpin, but he's never a real threat because he never even really gets interested until the end. And even his own guys just end up not, like, turning on him, basically, or, like, not doing what they're told.
Yeah.
There needed to be some part of it where, like, the mayor had Sarah captured and threatened to kill her or something like that, or threatened to throw her into a vat of toxic waste.
Right? Like dangling her over it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. And instead, she almost gets raped. That's about the worst that we get in the Mexican restaurant. So, I mean, I never did go back to that after Sponsorship Corner.
Yeah,
the whole, this bitch cornholed and everything like that. Just in case someone took it out of context earlier because they have not watched this movie, but they are listening to the podcast. That was a quote from the movie when I said, yeah, cornhole this bitch. Because that's when the Toxic Avenger rescues her.
And they get close. But, like, I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, right? I was wondering, like, how Clockwork Orange is this going to go?
Yeah.
I mean, there's the scene where he takes out a pimp and his crew who try to sell him a 12-year-old prostitute. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? The Polaroid pictures that they take of the one person they squish. And as you mentioned, the girl masturbating to it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't mention what she was masturbating to in the sauna. But yeah, I mean, he just goes on this murdering spree. I mean, it felt very disjointed, like disconnected. Like all these, you know. Yeah. This is a weird movie.
It's also just, well, I think what we're kind of is like everything is surface. There's nothing. There's no deeper anything to this movie. It's all flash and, you know, it's actually kind of similar to like the critique of a lot of superhero movies of today, where it's just like all candy, no substance. Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, okay. So Sarah ends up moving into the dump with Melvin. Couldn't she potentially get very ill from living in a toxic waste dump? Like, especially considering she doesn't even seem like the best blind person around. Like, she's playing it as if she's just turned blind. You know, so she's bound to, like, stumble and trip and fall into a puddle of toxic waste or something. Like, didn't she have a house? Why didn't you move in there?
Yeah. maybe she feared reprisals, but yeah, you are right. She is not like even that scene when they first. No, they do go to her house because they at one point because they walk into her house and she like trips. She trips like right through the door. And then she goes,
right.
she's like, oh, let me grab my cane. And there's like this whole big wall of canes that, and she knocks,
and she
over
knocks
all
them
of
all
them
over.
To get one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, why didn't they just stay there?
Exactly. No, instead, he's got her like fashioning some sort of toxic waste mud hut. Like, oh, home sweet home. Here we go. What's that smell?
Yeah, one can only imagine what sort of like maladies will be visited upon their children.
It would be great if in Toxic Avenger 2, it's like, hey, I can see now. You know, she has, you know, the toxic waste fixes something of hers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make this a whole thing, like, where this becomes a yearly foray into the canon of Toxic Avenger, because I think there's, like, four movies.
There is four of them.
But, yeah, maybe, Sully, if you're the big Toxic Avenger fan, you can send us a follow-up email and let us know what happens in the franchise.
That's right, yes. Yeah. Apparently with the women that he killed when he goes on his murdering spree in the health club, there's the one in the locker room and the one that we mentioned that he sits on the coals and everything. Apparently there is a deleted scene that shows that they actually survived, but they just have disfiguring injuries.
Oh, really? That seems less impactful.
Yeah. And so then we end up getting like the guy that also beats the old lady to death. I will say though, he beats the lady to death for her Toyota.
Yeah.
But I will say her Corolla. That was such an 80s Corolla. But I will say that I thought that was a pretty exciting car chase. Like for $475,000, like they wrecked a lot of cars.
Yeah, I liked the car chase. I thought it was a little strange that there was part of me, because this is where I remember now. This is where I got confused. So the Toxic Avenger causes them to fly off the cliff, and they roll down the hill, and there's a big car explosion. And yeah. I don't remember him being on or in the car when it also went over the hill. So when the explosion happens, and then it goes up, and it shows like the one guy, he should have been burnt to a crisp, but he's still hanging out dead out of the windshield. And then the Toxic Avenger comes out of the car. I thought that was a new Toxic Avenger. Like, I thought that was a new mutant. I thought they like went into some sort of acid or like toxic waste thing, and one of those guys like now became the, you know, like the Venom to this.
We were going to get a boss battle.
Yeah, to like, he became the anti-Toxic Avenger or whatever. Because right after that is when he goes and just murders this old lady in the laundromat, and it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because we don't know yet that she's evil. So I was like, oh, is there's two of them now and they're going to fight? that's what I thought was happening. But then,
see, that should have been cool. Well, I mean, he was hanging on the roof. I'm trying to remember it, because it has been almost a week since I've watched it. So, yeah, he was hanging on the roof, and then he, like, did he get in? Like, I remember that he was somehow still in the car or something like that. And when I remember him being in the car, because when he got out, I'm like, oh, he's fireproof, too. Because he was lit on fire. I guess it's like the idea of doing a controlled burn to stop a forest fire, because, you know, like the damage is already done, so the forest fire won't go through there. It's the same thing. Like, he's already had the controlled burn on his skin, so fire can't touch him now.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it happened.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so Melvin is out of control. He can't stop killing. He needs to go somewhere where he can be alone with his girlfriend. So hopefully, you know, she is able to Natasha Romanoff calm him down with some sort of lullaby to keep him from going absolutely crazy.
The sun's getting real low.
That's right.
It's kind of weird because, it's more like, he just wants to go far enough away, basically, that it's too inconvenient to walk to town and go on a murderous rampage. Like,
yeah.
Because they're already seemingly fairly off the grid.
Yeah, it's like, it's a 2-hour walk. Yeah. Fuck. I mean, by the time I get there, I'll want to have lunch and then just turn around and come back. I mean, that's a 5-hour day right there. Well, and it's uphill. Fuck.
I mean, it's one way to break a habit.
I gotta know with this movie, like, who knew somebody? Like, who had the hookups on this? Who in the production team? Because, like, the point where they call in the National Guard, like, the fact that they had, like, a tank and other, like, military equipment in this movie, where it's just like, $470,000? Like, Clerks didn't have a tank in it. Blair Witch Project didn't have a tank, you know?
This is probably the other scene that costs a lot of money, but I would also be curious to know, like, how many people who, like, acted in this movie worked for free? Like, who was the paid, who got paid in this movie? Because it definitely was not everyone. Like, some people definitely just got paid in, like, food.
Well, or is it, does it take place in only a couple of locations for the most part? Because it's like, okay, they just powered out all the club stuff in 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't find any trivia that said this movie was filmed in 30 days, or, you know, in 3 weeks or something like that, or anything.
This like, ending scene with the tanks and everything all pointed at their tiny little tent. I thought for sure Sarah was getting killed. I thought for sure, like, when they started firing at him and bullets were bouncing off, I was like, she's gonna take one.
Right? Like, it's gonna be his Gwen Stacy or something like that. It's gonna, you know.
But then they had the Grinch's heart grew 10 sizes, and all the townspeople were just like, this is wrong, we can't do it.
Hooray for his hooray. Yeah, all the townspeople, they block him from being able to kill him. But then the Toxic Avenger just walks over and straight up murders the mayor in front. So is this like the end of Roadhouse? Is that what we're dealing with here? Is that the whole town's like, I didn't see anything? Because you'd think at least the National Guard that don't know shit from shit would be like, guys, like, this guy just disemboweled the fucking mayor, and we all sat here and watched it. And we're not the evil ones that, like, sat around and watched him, like, burn to death earlier. Like, you know.
Yeah, that is true. It gave me more, like, Billy the Kid at the end of Young Guns vibes when he, like, shoots the old man between the eyes and then runs off into the sunset.
Yeah.
But it is kind of weird at the end of this movie. Like, presumably they're all celebrating now while this guy is just lying on the ground with his intestines out. And we all know, like, he's not, that is not a thing that kills you instantly, I don't think. Like, he's definitely shock, but I don't think he's died instantly from that.
Yeah, he's bleeding out for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, if someone got there fast, if there was triage on the scene, and I'm sure some of those military guys are probably medics.
Yeah.
If you're calling in the National Guard, you're bringing in triage, you know? But yes, Melvin has rid the town of all evil, I guess, until the follow-up movies. And, you know, if you ever need him, the Toxic Avenger will be there for you. And the end. That, oh boy, that's the Toxic Avenger. So, Colin, on IMDb, it scored 6.2 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 42. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 70% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 63%. But Colin, those are just numbers. Like, like the weights of some gym equipment falling on your face. Hit us with some reviews. I guess I could have probably opened that up with, you know how when I do my IMDb things, it's always, you know, now Colin and whoever the guest might be that week. I mean, I might as well have just said, now Colin, Sully on IMDb, because he's probably the only other person listening to this episode.
I don't know. He'll be surprised, I bet. Joel Lennon gives the movie 3 out of 5 stars and says, not a great film by any means, in my opinion, but I can see why it has a cult following. It's one of those I've never seen anything like it before, and at times can be so non-self-aware of itself that it's really hard to take the film very seriously as a whole. The acting is something you'll expect from a movie like this, but the actor that played the mayor nailed it. Even some of the effects, such as the main lead transforming into the Toxic Avenger, is pretty impressive, especially with the budget they had. Overall, if you're a person that's highly sensitive to violence, I suggest maybe a pass, but if you're someone that loves campy B-movies, this is the film for you. A movie that definitely shows its age, but is good for the wrong reasons. B-movie, I would have gave this movie a D for sure. He said 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5, okay, yeah. Okay, you know, that one feels very much like where my head is sitting currently after our discussion to this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
He made some very good points, yeah.
Xanatos Lives gives the movie 5 out of 5 and says, one of my all-time favorite films. So ready for the big-budget remake coming. Cross fingers, they do it justice, LOL. But it's a kind of horror, kind of superhero movie where the victim gives a Jason vibe and totally saves the day. It has some scenes that are hardcore and others that are just B-movie bad, but makes it great. It's one of the trademarks of trauma movies. Heck, if not for this studio, you wouldn't have James Gunn or the South Park boys.
Okay. Well, you know what that review got me doing is a Google search of a Toxic Avenger reboot, and it says 2022. Upcoming American superhero black comedy horror film directed and written by Macon Blair serves as a reboot and a contemporary reimagining and the sixth installment overall in his film franchise. Sixth overall in his film franchise. I wonder if the musical counts when they say sixth. It stars Peter Dinklage as the title character. Alongside Jacob Tremblay, Taylor Page, Kevin Bacon, and Elijah Wood. Okay. Is Peter Dinklage just playing the Melvin version, or are they? Oh, or are they Ragnarokking it?
I don't know, man. Peter Dinklage. For some reason, to me, Peter Dinklage as a Toxic Avenger just seems, like, offensive. I don't know. That seems like a waste of his talent.
Yeah. Unless he's the Melvin character, and then he ends up as the Toxic Avenger himself. But I don't know. Yeah. I hope that's Wikipedia real, you know?
Yeah. This last review is from Alexis D. She gives the movie 2 out of 5 stars and says, I only seen this movie once. I might watch this movie again. I don't know. Very 80s B-movie, gore, sex, and all of the above. I never seen or heard of this movie before, and someone brought up this movie, and I had to see it for myself. Not everybody's cup of tea, but it was kind of funny, and it does pass the time. I did hear about the fact that they turned this movie into a kid's cartoon that I sort of remember from when I was a kid. Silly humor that would not pass if it were made today. There's also comic books based on this movie as well, I believe. Love it or hate it, it may have aged like milk, but this can be seen as an underground cult classic. 2 stars.
It may have aged like milk. I like that one. Right on. So, yeah, 6.2 and 63 from audiences, 42 and 70 from critics. 70? Does Rotten Tomatoes have one person that reviewed it? Is that... Wow. I get it. That's one thing that I will say about this movie. Much like Buckaroo Banzai and other movies in that vein, I get it. It's not necessarily for me. I am kind of curious about the franchise, and since I already have the musical on a USB, one day if I find myself bored, I may sit down and watch that. A lot of my Disney Plus shows have come back, though, so I've got a lot of binging going on. And Welcome to Wrexham. Holy shit, if you haven't watched Welcome to Wrexham, that's a fun one. Hmm. But anyway, yeah. I didn't hate it. Yeah, I spent a lot of it going, what the hell am I watching? And but I get the camp. I understand what's going on. I'm in on the joke. I enjoyed it for what it was, but my God, like, it's like that one person said, it aged like milk. It's not a great movie, but I'm kind of hooked on the Toxic Avenger now. I'm not opposed to seeing more Toxic Avenger, bringing more Toxic Avenger into my life. I'm just not rushing out to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bad movie, but I get it. It's fun. It's stupid. It's terrible. It's all of the above. It's, yeah. Colin, what about you? Toxic Avenger, what did you think?
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I wouldn't go so far as to say hate. Hate seems too strong. I didn't like it either, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I would just say it was a movie I watched. And you know what?
I want to see that on the poster. It was a movie I watched. Colin Stewart.
That's the log line. I don't know. That's what to say. I thought the girls were really hot. That was probably what kept me in the game. For an 80s movie, I was like, man, these girls are stacked. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It definitely didn't, you know, like, unlike you, I'm not really inspired to continue on with this franchise. I think I just don't really understand the appeal of B movies.
Yeah.
Like, I think there are people who love them and they kind of like that unpolished kind of like guerrilla filmmaking aspect of you see in B movies.
Yeah.
And I just don't really appreciate that. I like to see a well polished, well made, good story movie.
Oh, it could even be one of those things that, yeah, it can look cheap, but it doesn't have to be a bad story just because it looks cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a difference between indie and B.
I would maybe be interested in watching the reboot just because it'd kind of be interesting to see what. I was thinking about this actually with Buckaroo Banzai, because I kind of feel about this movie the same way I felt about Buckaroo Banzai. It's clearly not meant to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
But I do kind of wonder what it would be like if you had somebody take it serious.
Mm. Yeah.
So I would be interested to watch maybe the reboot, but the rest of the original franchise, I don't know. The musical, wow. Can't even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, you want them to keep your camp in Batman. You're happy with Batman camp, but not, you know, like Adam West camp. That kind of camp you're okay with, but this ultra violent camp you're not into.
And I think honestly, it's like the Batman thing is that's pure nostalgia. If I had never seen Adam West Batman, I bet I wouldn't like it. But it's just I like Batman, and I grew up with that movie, so I will never not love that movie, but.
Well, have you ever sat down and watched any Green Hornet from the same time?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just because it's got sort of the same campiness to it, but not quite as. They take it a bit more seriously, but.
Yeah,
it's just. I don't know. I just wonder whether you'd be into something like that, too, for that camp reason.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, Sully. Thank you for this suggestion, but yeah, if you want to request something outside of the Toxic Avenger universe for your next request, then that's probably a better way to go, because you would infuriate Colin, apparently.
Well, I mean, I'll do anything for my fans, for my adoring public, right? Like, but doesn't mean I'll be happy about it.
Well, like I said, I'm not rushing out to watch the sequels either. If I watch the musical, it's just because it's already there. And the musical's got to be much newer. So they've probably upped the camp to make it more appropriate for a musical.
Yeah, I feel like the musical has to be on another level of just ridiculous, like...
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the movie or the musical probably leans heavy into comedy, I would guess, yeah. But...
It's like the Spamalot to the Holy Grail. That's what it is. Because, like, you know, the Holy Grail was already ridiculous, but if you thought that they couldn't take it up a notch, go see Spamalot.
Yeah.
So that's got to be what the musical is. Yeah. Well, there we go. That is the Toxic Avenger, and that's our show for this week. Oh, boy. If you like that show, well, just tell the world. Go on whatever podcasting app you listen to your podcasts on and give us some stars. Give us 5 stars and a review. Just help drive us up the charts, because those computers are going to do their algorithms and tell people that people are listening to our show, and science is going to do the work. Or just tell somebody. Tell somebody in person, and that is something that goes a long way for a podcast, building an audience. Or if you want to go above and beyond and you want to donate to the show and become an executive producer, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and become part of our Patreon family, and you even get a shout out like executive producer Joshua Blum.
And be sure to check out our website, www.IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all our podcast episodes and social media. And just like Sully, if you want to drop us a line and let us know what movies you used to like and want to hear us talk about them on the show, you can email us at IUsedToLikeThisOne, all one word, @gmail.com.
I Used to Like This One is hosted by, created by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. And if you'd like to hear more from me and my stories of being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Thank you for listening. And join us next week when we take a look at one more listener request movie for November on I Used to Like This One.